We are approaching the end of book 5. Means almost an ending to all stuff that he wanted to talk about, and the subject is easy to understand. Bewilderment. Did you understand it? If you say yes, you're silly. Go home. Because nobody could. This is what it means, bewilderment. What? There is something to know about it and not understand. But what? You tell me. What's in you? A part of your understanding and thinking.
Culture.
Nonsense. Silence. Nonsense. These are all logical stuff for your brain. Emotion. Feeling. Passion. That's what it is. It's beyond the logic. You don't understand why, but suddenly you feel sad. Why? Then there are sometimes that you could try to understand that feeling, yes, it exists. What is the main feeling you should understand? Love. Therefore, you hear the story of Ayaz and Ayaz and Ayaz, because Ayaz is a real serious fellow in love. He is a slave, he is in love with the king. Like every human being. Because when you fall in love with Hap, with just and justice and the true and the truth. Expectancy, you remember all that collection, God. He is the king, you are the slave, that's the difference. But as you saw in the story, that difference is not really there. Because first, there is no one way in here. It's a two-way connection. And, yes, we don't know the other side. Because the other side is beyond our understanding. We are this little stuff. But the tendency, the attraction is here. We know it. That was one of the major differences between me and an animal. Yeah. I could claim that I have something that the animal does not. And that's understanding the honesty. Animal doesn't understand what honesty is. I understand. That's the difference. All is in what? Okay, let's talk about this subject that you think that you understand. Yes. What is honesty? Honesty is some passion, some feeling for the goodness that I'm ready to pay the price for that. Because honestly, you have to pay the price. Because everybody is cheating. Every living creature is cheating. You want not to cheat. Why? Because we felt that attraction towards we. There the culture comes in. Anyhow, in the stories lately, Rumi brought you a new story. There was a king who wanted to have some good wine, sent for wine, and there is this fellow who is, let's say, doing nothing, trying not to be bad. broke the wine and ruined the night. Then the kings come, the king comes to kill that fellow. Yes, because that fellow dared to ruin my party. I have guests and all of that. And everybody is trying to convince the king that, no, please forgive him. And, the story didn't end there, remember? And the king insists, no, this is not forgivable. Because if I forgive this, he will do this again. I have to do it again and again, right? We are in the middle of that story. Amazingly, you will see that tonight we'll go, if we arrive to a couple of paragraphs later, this is the same story that we were talking about with Ayaz. You remember when we left Ayaz? We left Ayaz when the king was angry with all these people who went there and broke that lock and did all that bad stuff to him. But that king is the most appreciated one. He doesn't personally do anything. He did something else that he will bring it here to you. Do you remember what was that? He said, oh, I'm angry, but I don't do anything. You choose what should we do about these people. The judgment that in this story, we are watching the king, which is not forgiving, because he's a king. Ayaz is the opposite. We will say, oh, it's my problem. I did something wrong. If that lock was not that big, they wouldn't notice it. So it's my fault. You will see this transformation in these stories. Pay attention, because he wants to give you some feeling about this stuff. You have to feel the Ayaz, because whatever I bring the situation, you go with the anger of this king, right? You don't think. And the happy ending for this story for you is to king to cut the head of that fellow. Just for breaking a vase of wine? Is that how your judgment and feeling is? Yes. The anger is in you. It's hidden in you. It provokes you. You have to work hard to understand that no matter what the situation is, have pity, not anger, not to kill the other fellow, not to eliminate others. There is no others, there is only we. Honestly, there is no us. It's only we, period. Anyhow, tonight, who is the guilty party tonight? Peter.
I'm looking at 3583.
Yeah.
How the Emir answered them again. He replied, nay, nay, I am the fellow for that wine. I am not content with tasting this delight. I desire such that, like the jasmine, I may ever be reeling crookedly that way, now this. And having been delivered from all fear and hope, I may be swaying to every side like the willow, swaying to left and right like the willow bough, which is made to dance all sort of dances by the wind. He that is accustomed to the joy of wine, how should he be satisfied with this delight?
Okay, you're listening to the logic here. He is explaining that, first of all, why I want to drink the wine. He is the king, and he is very busy controlling everything, doing the this, that, and that, and that. But having a glass of wine and getting drunk to forget about all the problems, to be like a tree in the wind. This is my choice. What's wrong with it? If I want to feel like this, what's wrong with it? Nothing. Therefore, I'm angry, yes.
The prophets abandoned this delight because they were steeped in the divine delight. Since their spirit had experienced that delight, these delights seemed to them play. When anyone has been united with a living object of adoration, how should he embrace a dead one?
Okay, I was talking like this, and I know that you would say, oh, to be that happy and fantastic, you don't need the wine. Look at the prophets. The prophets, they have that connection. They have all the joy they could. So don't bring me these excuses that, yes, without this we'll be this and this. I'm doing something which is simple, and I'm hurting no one, and there's nothing negative in it. So why should someone just there to break the veil of my wife? Why? Yes.
Commentary on the verse, and lo, the afterhome is the life, if they live with. The gates and walls and area of that world, and its water and pitches and fruits and trees, all are living and speaking and hearing. On that account, Mustafa, on whom be peace, has said that the present world is a carcass and those who seek it are cursed. If the next world had no life, the next world too would be a carcass. A carcass is so called because of its being dead, not because of its evil smell and foulness.
Okay, did you listen? A very long, long sentence which is more difficult if you were reading in time of Rumi, because the first part of it is one Arabic sentence. It's in Arabic. So the Persians didn't understand that. Therefore, the explanation of that Arabic stuff is this and this and this. What was all about? What was all about it? You tell me. You go back and look at it because you're not listening, really. He was talking that everything is alive. Everything is talking. When I say me, I isolate this from existence. I have to come out. What is this out? First of all, every one of we human beings. But we human beings, if it was only us, we would die. In less than 10 days, all of us will die. You remember? The nature, the stuff that they do some stuff. Why? Because they are alive. Don't you see the living creatures? The animals? Oh, cut your hand. Look carefully in your blood and see so many different creatures, good and bad. That's what it is. We are somewhere which is one of the, I could say, one of the most critical moments of human culture is now. It's not the time of Rumi. In time of Rumi, nobody knew about microbes. Nobody knew about galaxies. The Earth was the center of the universe. Yeah. Now what? Ha ha ha. But the feeling, the passion, the emotion,